Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
That these individuals realized they didn't sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. It was a faith mindset.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
I think it'll be helpful to you and I today to realize that God does desire to help us. How do I get through tough times? How do I look at life's injustices? How do I look at life when life's just not fair? How could it be that, God, you would allow people to go through painful, difficult parts of their life and come to the conclusion, I guess that God really doesn't care, or if he cared, he certainly wouldn't let these kind of things go on. Because when you read Hebrews 11, and we have gone through much of this, Hebrews 11 is the expression or examples of the exhortation, Hebrews 10, that the just will live by faith. And if the just are going to live by faith, then he begins laying out these many, many different examples we've been preaching over the last few months. And last week, we looked at those individuals that by faith were triumphant victors. These were people that had had conquest over their struggles. They escaped. And I mentioned to you these three simple truisms. That number one, that faith, by faith, they cheerfully and confidently accepted God-given tasks against all human odds. We mentioned these people that were victors, that by faith they courageously, they stood alone to face immense odds for Christ's sake. And I also mentioned to you that by faith they chose obedience with God's minority rather than earth's majority. And you read through these great victors and come to the conclusion, wow, man, God's on the throne. He's answering prayer. He's doing great things. But it's very easy when you get to the place of Hebrews 11, verse 35, after women that receiving their dead raised to life again. All of those, do you not think that they were praying, God, please raise my little one so that I can have life again? Have you ever prayed for something and it just didn't happen? Did God not answer? Did God not care? And somewhere in your Christian life, my friend, you will get to the point that unless you base your life by faith, not feelings, not fears, not comparison to other people, by faith, you will come to the point of seeing people just like the ones we're going to look at today and others in verse 35, it says. And in verse 36, beginning of it, and others. And a whole litany, a whole list of people going through great difficulties. And when I read that, I realize that by faith, some were tragic victims. And they continued in suffering. They didn't escape. They endured. So when you end up reading Hebrews 11, look at your Bibles, when it sums that list up, we're going to look at, when he says in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, and in verse 39, and these all, including the victors and including the victims, including those that escaped and those that endured, all of these, by man's reasoning, this first group, in verse 33 and 34 and verse 32, that by reasoning, that first group, they were winners. And this next group that we're looking at today, they're losers. But you see, in Christ's mind, and as he looked at it, they didn't all necessarily get their prayers answered. But ultimately, according to God, they all had a good report. And I would suggest to you and I today, I want to reinforce this whole thing, my friend, that you cannot end up looking at your Christian life or others' Christian life based on circumstances. Warren Wiersbe is the one that accurately stated, if you base your faith on circumstances, you will become woefully discouraged with your Christian life. And so how do I end up looking at difficulties like we're going to look at today? And the reason why God put all these into the Bible is to help you and I today to realize that these are events that go on and have gone on through the history of God, in which God was working the lives of people. You can look way back through the Old Testament and see how God used sufferings and persecutions for God's ultimate goal and purpose in the past. It didn't just start with the New Testament, with believers, as they have recorded here. So how do I end up looking at this and thinking, God, you must not know what's going on? And so to help us, that's why you have and you can read events like this. Or you can read events that even in the early church, in the catacombs of Rome, whereas one writer made the statement that their persecution was above ground and prayer was below ground, because their lives were expressed and extinguished in the Colosseum and ended up going into the catacombs. And beneath Rome, those excavations of revealing hundreds and hundreds of catacombs that are scattered throughout Rome. The galleries are basically 8 feet high and 2 to 3, 5 feet wide, and they contain on either side rows and rows of long, low, horizontal recesses. And those graves that were put into the sides, both pagans and Christians buried their dead in these catacombs. And when the Christian graves had been opened, the skeletons tell their own terrible tale. Heads are found severed from the body, ribs and shoulder blades are broken, and their own bones that are put into small pieces and ashes from fire. And so it's no wonder to us if you open to Hebrews 11 when it starts this whole horrible series out in Hebrews 11:35, and others were tortured. It's interesting when he starts this whole list of individuals, when he starts with tortured, because the very word torture in the Greek, tympanizo, which in our English word we get the word timpani, where you get a drum that's covered with a drum-like material or skin. And that is exactly in the earlier years of torturing Christians, where that very word implies taking people and stretching them over a drum and using their body as a skin to ultimately crush and break the bones of their body till there was no life left. These were the very words when you talk about being tortured. And you know the point was, they weren't trying, they were trusting. But you get to the point of that kind of pain and suffering, you can try all you want, but you get to the end of yourself, and God says, that's now where you begin trusting. And notice what he says here, because this is the first of three statements that I want to expand on, when he says, first of all, and notice they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. A simple paraphrase that is, they refused to accept their freedom so they could be raised from death to a better life. One commentary made a statement this way, that they might be raised again to a better life, that is to say, that they might experience a resurrection better than a reprieve from death at the hand of their tormentors. They were in the place, in other words, number one of three statements I want to make you today. What I think this passage is saying is, number one, that these individuals realized they didn't sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. It was a faith mindset that expressed itself, that they didn't sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. And these are the antipodes of spirituality that Christ taught. They were the opposite of what we would think must be right. Man, if I'm a Christian, hey, things are going to go right. It's just going to be like, yes. And our natural instincts is, hey, I'm going to jump on something that's going to get me someplace, and it's going to benefit me and my family. And God is saying, I'm laying these out for you Because if you're going to live by faith, you've got to allow me to make those choices, what kind of life I'm going to end up allowing you to go through. Because ultimately, those that humanly have everything as a smooth line are not always the ones that are going to be the strongest spiritually. And that's why he put in not just here's all the victors, but here are some victims. Here are people that have gone through tortures in order that they would accept deliverance, know that they would be in a place to realize, I'm not going to sacrifice my future, in other words, on the temporary altar of the immediate. Because they are in a place to realize that I am not going to end up giving up something in the future I'm investing in for something so immediate as, oh, please, no more pain. No more pain to my body. Which is why he goes on in this statement, in the sentence, to say in verse 36, notice, and others, which leads us to a whole list. Let me read this for you. Notice it says in verse 36, and others, they had trial of cruel mockings. Old Testament examples of people, they were mocked, they were scourged, they were imprisoned. The Micaiah, who was slapped in the face and sent to prison for predicting the future in 1 Kings 22. Jeremiah, he was beaten by the officials of King Zedekiah and placed in prison in Jeremiah 37. The writer goes on, he says, it's not just cruel mockings and scourgings. And there were plenty of these. So many, even through the Old Testament, even into the day in which the writer was writing. Scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Talking about Zechariah. And multiple others. And it says they were stoned, which was the execution of choice for most in the Jews because of Israel, how many stones were there. They would dig a pit somewhere between 10 feet or deeper, and they weren't just little small rocks. They were large boulders that they would end up putting on the edge of this pit and rolling over or putting onto those individuals that were to be stoned. It was a gruesome, painful, elongated way of dying. He says it wasn't just stopping with stoning, but they were sawn asunder. Here the writer gets seemingly more and more graphic. They knew when they were sawn asunder that most likely he was referring to Isaiah, the great prophet, one of the largest prophecies in the Old Testament, who was sawn asunder, who I used to think as a kid, oh, he must have just like, you know, laid down like I see magicians, you know, and just kind of like sawn in half. When the fact is that even in Europe, they have museums of torture that you can see what it used to be, including this one where they would take an individual and pull him up by his ankles and take a razor sharp sword or saw and literally pulling upside down, taken halfway between and cut them straight in half, starting from the middle of the legs all the way down. So the last conscious thought of a person is the last bit of pain that he could ever feel all the way down to the chin. He said, Pastor, that's kind of, you know, a little graphic. I'm not graphic, my friend. I didn't write this. I didn't put this in because if I humanly was to put this in, I wouldn't put it in. Let's just ignore that. It's kind of like, I don't think so. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about good things. And God evidently knew we needed to hear it. Because if we're going to have a mindset by faith, we're going to get to the place of realizing there were some people, godly people, that went through some painful experiences.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.